Welcome to another edition of Talk Nerdy to Me. I have someone here on the line you guys might be interested in. It's Mr. Darren Davis. How you doing, Darren?
Hey, good. How are you doing today?
Not bad, not bad. I'm going to start with a little bit of your background here. I'm looking at, you've done everything. You've worked at E! Entertainment, USA Network, Lionsgate Films, DC Comics.
Yeah. I actually worked at Wildstorm when they got taken over by DC Comics, and then I ended up getting folded into that world. I was selling their services, getting them jobs outside of comic books, so like custom work and that type of stuff. And I was representing people like Jim Lee and Travis Terrest and just all like the big people at Wildstorm. And then it just turned into a job at DC. So, and I ended up, but I ended up getting laid off, ironically, weirdly. Because they were folding in that position, and they didn't know what to do with me after like 2 years. And so they wanted me to come down to San Diego and edit Star Trek books. And I was like not an editor at that time. I was just like, I was like a salesperson, an artist rep, all this type of stuff. So ironically, I've edited Shatner and Walter Koenig. And so it all comes back full circle.
Wow. So at Wildstorm, so you rubbed elbows with Jim Lee. And
I've been to his poker parties, so.
Oh.
He's so nice. He's still really cool. So.
Yeah, sorry, I just had a nerdgasm.
He is a good boss, so because I'd have to go into the offices once a month, and then we would hang out and that type of stuff, and just all the artists were super cool, and it was just such a, it was more of a family Wildstorm when it was just like on its own, so I really felt honored to be a part of that. Because I think like 4 years before that, I was waiting in line for his autograph at the Image, whatever, Deathmate tour or whatever it was. So.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. So you were a comic book fan from the get-go. It didn't start when you started at Wildstorm.
No, I never thought I'd work in comic books. I loved, my first comic book I ever got was Super Team Family. Because I wasn't able to go to the Statue of Liberty, so my dad bought me a comic book. So, and so then it just started, and I fell in love with Teen Titans, New Teen Titans, the George Perez and Marv Wolfman book, and so and Brave and the Bold were my two favorites.
Yeah, I was going to ask. So, who's your favorite character, comic book wise?
Actually, if you saw like the other end of my spectrum, it's all Batgirl. It's like literally everything I own is like, I have every Batgirl figure. I have everyone probably at your store. I probably have, yeah. So.
Wow. You don't hear that often. So that's kind of refreshing to hear.
Barbara Gordon, Batgirl. Let's just be clear. So.
Batgirl, not Batwoman. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like Batgirl right here.
Oh, wow. You do have them everywhere.
Yeah, I do have it everywhere.
Okay, and I noticed, is that a Nightwing jacket you got on also?
Yes, yes.
Represent.
So cold.
So I'm guessing it's DC and not Marvel in your house?
Not a Marvel, yeah.
So from working at Wildstorm in DC, how did you go from there to Tidal Wave Productions making your own comics?
So I was given all of my business because they didn't know what to do with my business at that point because it was super weird what I was doing at DC. As I said, getting people jobs inside and outside of comic books. And so then I became a rep for like a ton of comic book artists and I became like the it person. I was representing like Andy Park who does Tomb Raider and now basically, you know, does all the designs for Marvel Cinematic Universe. Randy Green, who still is one of my favorite artists ever, who did Witchblade. And I was, do you remember PSM magazine?
Yes.
So PlayStation magazine, I did all the covers for like a 2 year run. I agented all those from like Howard Porter, who's I think doing Flash now, to Ken Lashley and Roger Cruz. And you can see all the stuff that I did. And then I was watching these people create their own comic books and their own content. And I thought, let me see if I can try this. And so I knew I was creative and I knew I could put a team together and I was a really good producer. And so I put together, this is my first comic book called The Tenth Muse, which I did at Image Comics. And it launched at the sixth highest selling comic book. And to kind of go back around, you know, my childhood icon was like Marv Wolfman and George Perez. So getting to work with Marv Wolfman, who wrote this for me after I created it, was amazing. And then I knew the style and the feel of the book that I wanted to do. And so I wanted it to be kind of like a Top Cow kind of like esque book, because that was what was popular in 2000. And so I hired Ken Lashley, who just got off Rising Stars, to do it. And as I said, and then we used Sable from the WWF as the photo model, which I've never watched WWF before. So, but it tied in, but it got us into national news and that type of stuff, because there was a celebrity angle to it. So I learned the power of celebrity early from working at E! And Lionsgate and that type of stuff. So. So yay. And,
okay, you said 10 Muse was with Image. So
yeah,
what was your first one under Tidal Wave?
Well, this was. So Tidal Wave, okay. Tidal Wave actually, so yeah, there's like a little weirdness with my companies and how I started and that type of stuff. So, and you can all read it in Bleeding Cool, because it's ridiculous. But I started Tidal Wave Productions in 2000. And then I did that for about 4 years. And I did Legend of Isis there. I did Black Tide. I did all these things at Image. And then I wanted to grow bigger, and they wouldn't let me grow bigger. So so I ended up leaving and going to Avatar. Is it Avatar? It is Avatar. Yeah, Avatar. Yeah, I went to Avatar. And that was just such a wrong mistake move for me. Because like 10th Muse is such a, you know, it's a very PG comic book. It's, you know, it's female empowerment, all that type of stuff. And they took her and basically like bent her over and had her getting spanked and stuff. And it's just not the message I want to portray in comic books. And so ironically, do you know who owns Bleeding Cool?
Mm-hmm.
It's Avatar. So
yeah.
So that's why I get some of the bad press that, or the whatever press. So, and then, yeah, and then I changed. So then I got kind of sick of comic books for a while, and I just quit. It just became too high school for me. And so I left the industry for about a year, worked for a nonprofit. And then a friend of mine asked me to come back and do 10th Muse again. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. And I just can't do one thing. So I thought I needed a fresh start, and I started Blue Water Productions, which I started with the Ray Harryhausen. Like, I have all my like little show me books. So we did like Clash of the sequel to Clash of the Titans, Sinbad, Jason the Argonauts, all these classic films, but we did sequels to everything. And so I launched that, and I launched, I think it was Victoria's Secret Service. And they did really well. And so the books did well. We were online to be like a boom studio at that point. And then we were with Alias. Then we went to Alias, that was it. And at Alias, it just, they ended up folding, and then I started Blue Water. And so I ended up having to change the name of Blue Water because there was a, because we got a deal for Insane Jane as a feature film, and there's a Blue Water production, so it couldn't be called Blue Water Productions. So I changed it stupidly really quick to Stormfront Entertainment, which I didn't realize is a white supremacist group. So it's like the biggest white supremacist website out there. And so Bleeding Cool picked up on that, and they railed me on it. And so I changed it to Storm, and then it just didn't feel natural. So I just went back to my roots, and, you know, we rebranded Tidal Wave Productions. So
it was a long road, but you finally got that. I think Tidal Wave is a good name. I like that. Looking at some of the titles, it looks like you guys specialize a lot in, like you said, with celebrity stuff, but even more than that, kind of bio type things. Most recently, you guys did the infamous Tiger King, which I'm sure you got it there in your stack. Ooh. Yep. And I love that cover.
And the flip side. So if you actually look at the cover really close, which you can't really do, but you can look it up online, is all the characters are in the cover, and in the tongue is Carol Baskin.
Yeah, it's like little Easter eggs hidden all in the tiger.
Yeah, this book, because there's a while that, you know, sometimes publishing a book or publishing books, you just kind of get into ruts and you keep producing stuff and you're just like, bam, 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 get stuff out and that type of stuff. But this book was so much fun to do, you know, because in this world of COVID, I work with these two great guys, Joe Paradise and Michael Verzel. And Michael has written for me so many times and Joe has done so many biographies for me and drawn a lot. And we're like thinking, we did a Stormy Daniels biography. And we're like, what's the worst, best idea that we can do? And so we did this Stormy Daniels one. Mm-hmm. And so we decided that when COVID came around, we're all sitting at home trying to figure stuff out. And we're like, what's the next best thing that we can do? And we thought, you know, there's only two things people are talking about, COVID and Tiger King. So we're like, let's do a Tiger King comic. So bam. And it's really great because a lot of the cast has given us shout outs and stuff, including that bitch Carol Baskin.
Yeah, those were great. I've read the comic and it seems to be a pretty straightforward kind of a bio of those two characters because, you know, you read it halfway through and then you flip it and it's the other character reading the other direction. It's not like you took any artistic license or anything. It's just it presents their history in comic book format, which is a lot easier for a lot of people to digest.
Right. And so I will never do a flip book again. This is not the funnest. So, but what we wanted to do with this is we wanted to do it differently than, you know, we didn't want to regurgitate what was on the Netflix series. So we actually did this as a prequel and we actually show why Joe and Carol end up hating each other. And their true beliefs of like animal rights and what they actually think is because in their own heads, they both believe what they are doing is correct. But neither one of them are really heroes in the world. So it kind of gets a little bit weird, you know, but one of the things that I did learn is because we worked with PETA on this and PETA has a relationship with Carol Baskin. And so like in the Netflix series, we learned that, you know, Carol does not do tiger cub
petting.
Breeding. Yeah, breeding. And she does not let. And so she did an event on the Netflix series where there's all these animals and people around and they raised $30,000. But what they didn't show is that people don't touch the animals. People don't even, you know, people don't take pictures with them. They have no cubs there. And where she gets her animals from are places like zoos that can't handle them, people that can't deal with them that end up thinking they want a tiger cub, or people like circuses or something like that. So it kind of humanized her a little bit for me about animal rights and that type of stuff. Do I think she killed her husband?
The wait, jury's out, yeah. That's not for us to decide. I know a lot of them, including Joe's current husband, I think, has read this. Do you know if Joe has gotten this in his hands at all?
Getting it. So
he is.
And we're getting, we're going to send him one. I'm just waiting for my comp, because I literally just got one. So I actually want to get the other cover to this because it would be easier to sign. And you can actually probably send it to him to have him sign them. So I saw somebody sign baseball. He signed baseball cards or something.
I would just like to see his feedback on it. What he thinks about it.
Well, yeah, I think that his husband Dylan will give us because I've reached out to him and we've talked and stuff. And so I'm hoping, yeah, that we'll get some feedback even from him. So.
And I've seen some rumors online, and maybe you started those rumors, that there's a sequel coming to Tiger King comic.
There might be a cover done already, and there might not be a cover done already.
Yeah, because like you said, there's those ancillary characters. They have stories too. So, and I think a lot of people will be interested in seeing some of those, like your Doc Antle, and I can't remember the other guys. Some of the other shady guys like to see some of their stories.
Yeah, we are talking about what we want to tell next because there's so many things that have happened. As I said, we don't want to do anything that Netflix has done because I just think people can see that. But there's so many things that have happened since the Netflix show, and these people are still in the limelight. You know, Carol Baskin just took over, you know, Joe Exotic's zoo. So it's super, you know, there's so many different things that we can do. So.
Wow. And are there any do you have any other irons in the fire? Aren't you working on Space Force
Stormy Daniels. So,
with Miss Daniels?
okay. So, Stormy Daniels, for those that know, is the one that was friends with the president for a while. And so, we did a biography on her called, actually, let me grab it. We did, I have it framed here. We did a Political Power Stormy Daniels comic book. And so, I get a call from her people 2 hours after it goes live everywhere, and our press release, and she had her book coming out. It was about a year and a half ago now. And her book was coming out at the same time, so I hit like perfect timing on this book. And we didn't mean to, we just did. And we got like threatening things from her, like from her people saying, "You better take this down or else." And I'm like, "What?" It was like super scary and super sketchy. And so I'm like, so I called my agent. I'm like, "Oh my God, what do I do? What do I do?" And she's like, "Let me handle it, whatever." And then I thought it was handled. And then it was like 5 o'clock, and I like look, my phone rings, and I'm like, "Who? What? Who's calling?" And I'm like, "Michael Avenatti." And I'm like thinking, "Do you know who he is?"
No, I don't.
Michael Avenatti was her lawyer that was going to run for president. And he
Ooh.
just got in trouble for some major, like, this is Michael Avenatti. And he just got in trouble for some major, like, crimes with Nike. And so he ended up turning, he was always on, like, CNN and Fox News doing interviews. And so having this guy call me, and I'm thinking it's just going to be his assistant, I'm like, so I, like, totally freaked out. And then once again, I passed him to my agent. So then a year later, I get a call from the guy that threatened me, and he's like, "Hey, you know, the book's not bad. We like it. We want to work with you." And I'm like, "You know what? Let's update it, and we'll do something, and we'll donate a percentage of the proceeds to the Wounded Warrior Foundation and run ads for them as well." And so we ended up doing that, and she ended up writing a she wrote the foreword to the book, and she actually edited it for us. And the foreword is actually worth just buying the book because it's super hilarious. And she's like, she talks about everything. And what she does now is she actually does comedy tours, and she'll go to comedy shows. And so she invited us to one in Tacoma right before all this COVID stuff hit. And it was, she'll talk about everything and anything, and then she'll answer all your questions, and she's super nice. And then we ended up like hanging out with her for like 2 hours afterwards, just kind of like talking about ideas and that type of stuff. And I go, "You know, I don't want this relationship to end with this one comic book. Let's, you know, there's a Space Force thing. Let's do Stormy Daniels Space Force." And she was like totally on board, loved the idea. And I'm super excited about it. So the art is amazing. Pablo Manera is doing it, and I have Andrew Shade and Michael Frizzell helping me write it, and we have Stormy input as well. So,
And this is going to be an ongoing comic, right? Not just a one shot.
yeah, this it's brought between Tiger King. It sounds really bad, but between Tiger King and Stormy Daniels, it's really brought back my creativeness. So, I just really haven't been super creative in a long time, and this really has brought it really back out. So the biography books are fun to do, but these two are just like fun.
That's good. So you found your muse back with these two
I
things,
did,
and kind of got
yeah.
your creative juices going again. And are you're looking at other celebrities down the line, or you're just going to take it as it comes?
Well, we have more biographies coming out. We have like Justin Trudeau coming out. That's it. That's it. That's there's an exclusive for you. We have him. We're doing Dolly Parton, Female Force will
Oh,
be there.
wow.
So I'm excited about. I just got the first 10 pages to that. who else do we have? Yeah, there's. I'm just.
I think I saw an Adam West tease.
So we've worked with that. So we did a series with him for about a year and a half. We did a, it's called The Misadventures of Adam West. And it's basically Adam West as a, here, I'll grab it. Okay. Basically working with him has been super great. So it's basically Adam West is the most bitter actor in the world, which is true. And he got typecast as being Batman and super pissed and all that type of stuff. And then once he finally did Family Guy, he kind of like embraced the cheesiness. And so with this comic book, he ends up getting an amulet sent to him by a fan. So he is like Adam West. And he's like, so a fan sends him an amulet that takes him back into time to be all the people that he's always wanted to be. So he's like a space ranger or, you know, a super spy and that type of stuff. James Bond kind of thing. So it's kind of like a Walter Mitty, but it's a super fun series. And we ended up spinning off a Julie Newmar series with her called The Secret Lives of Julie Newmar. And then we tried working with Burt Ward, but he's...
Well, yeah, I know a lot of people don't realize Adam West was on the short list to be James Bond before he got typecast, mm-hmm. as you said. And once you get stuck in that typecast, it's kind of hard to break out of it.
Yeah. I mean, even William Shatner had a really hard time breaking out of it, too. So,
is there going to be a William Shatner bio comic? No.
I worked with him. We did Tech War. I think it was
so yeah.
Long. We did Tech War. I produced Tech War, and he's just a jerk.
That is the rumor going around, but
he was really nice for about like 3 years, and then he just turned on a dime. So he's whatever.
Well, that's great. Are you looking to maybe branch beyond the comics into maybe some short animations or? Of the comics?
Well, yeah. Well, one of the things that we're doing with the Stormy Daniels Space Force is we're actually developing it as an animated series as well. So that could be on like a Netflix or Adult Swim or something like that. Because it's kind of like Stripperella, where it's a little risque, but not... We push the lines, but not too bad. So, and we also have 5 things optioned as movies and TV. And so, yeah.
Wow.
So we have like Dorian Gray, a modern day version of Dorian Gray, Gears, Nanny and Hank, Insane Jane. So.
Wow. So Lux, there's a bright future for Tidal Wave.
Hopefully. Yeah.
So yeah, that's great to hear.
Yeah. We've been doing this for 20 years. We had our Legend of Isis actually optioned by back in the day. It was like 2003 or 2004. We did it at Image and we had it. Kelsey Grammer was going to do it with Lindsay Lohan as lead. So, so yay. Hey, Daniel.
Yeah, that would be, the ISIS one would be a good one to see. It's just,
you can't do it now.
Now there's too much tied up with the name.
So it's really hard to kind of, So that one, but she's like one of my kids though. So when people say that they created ISIS, like that Barack Obama created ISIS, I actually really did. So.
Well, you might not want to brag about that. And
I know.
Certain company. okay. I think that is all the questions I had for you. I wanted to thank you for taking the time to answer all my silly questions.
Thank you.
I have one more quick question that I ask everybody that I interview. It might take a little thought on your part. And the question is, cake or pie?
Oh, cake. 5,000%. It has to be chocolate cake, no frosting.
Chocolate cake with no frosting. So a muffin.
Yeah, my birthday is actually coming up. Yeah. Or a cupcake is actually perfect from the cake to the whatever ratio.
So there you go, guys. Send him chocolate cupcakes. His birthday's coming. Well, happy birthday early. And,
thank you.
And thank you for, you know, granting me this interview. And good luck on, Tiger King's already selling well. And So good luck on the sequel or sequels.
And thank you for being a comic shop that's still open.
Oh, it's tough. They're doing their best to try to close comic shops. So we're trying to fight the good fight.
We'll always support you guys.
Yeah, if you're ever in southern New Mexico and you guys want to stop in for an in-store signing, just let me know. We'll arrange it.
Always. I would love that. So.
All right. And thanks again.
Thank you. Take care.
Get nerdy with me. Tell me what game that you get on. Is it COD or Eve? What kind of class do you play, girl? In an RPG.